On today's show, we are covering some big stuff happening in women's wrestling. Jade Cargill, she has finally turned up on SmackDown and we know her WrestleMania plans, along with Becky Lynch, her contract status in WWE. Very, very interesting stuff. And have the internet already lost patience with Mercedes Moné? And of course, it's WrestleMania season, so WrestleMania predictions are here with a special guest. All that and more on today's episode of the WrestleManiac UK show. Let's go. What's up, everyone? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will, back again with another episode of the WrestleManiac UK show. Thank you for downloading today's episode. I hope you guys are all well. I am absolutely stoked. I'm absolutely gassed. I'm loving life right now because it is WrestleMania season and it's only a matter of days before I jump on a plane to Philadelphia and take in everything that is happening over the next, 7 days or so in Philadelphia. Of course, it's like a festival of wrestling, so it's not just WrestleMania I'll be going to. I'll be at NXT, I'll be at Ring of Honor, I'll be at Progress. There's some other just, you know, not wrestling, but wrestling type events I'm going to be at as well. So I cannot wait. And with that, we have so much to cover in this show over the last week. And of course, looking forward to WrestleMania, the big show itself, not Paul White. But what I'm not going to touch on in today's episode is the excellence of, you know, Monday Night Raw from the week before, because it'll probably be a bit of old news. And, you know, I think everyone and their mother and cat and dog have had a word on the excellence of that Monday Night Raw. And if you follow me in, you know, other spaces, on Rest Things, on Gorilla Position, on my own channel, WrestleManiac UK, I would have had my word about this stuff already this week. So I'll touch on it because I love you guys that listen to the podcast. And maybe you don't catch me in these other places, which I'll definitely say catch me in these other places. But yeah, it's been said. But as it's been said, I still have to go over it. Like I said, what was that? Monday Night Raw, absolutely crazy. The Rock, fantastic. His performance, and obviously since then, we've seen the stuff, you know, post when they stopped rolling, allegedly, and he's still going off and telling them to F their script, and, you know, this is real life, and him and Cody went to war. Well, I say went to war. It was a one-way beatdown, which was absolutely fantastic. So if you have been living under a rock and you have no idea what I'm talking about and you missed that incredible segment that had the people talking, please seek it out. Fantastic. One of the best endings to Monday Night Raw in at least the last 15 to 20 years. Years. Yeah. So please seek it out if you have not seen it. CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Seth freaking Rollins again. Another segment for the ages. We haven't seen WWE do this kind of, you know, holding close to the line, shoot promo-esque kind of promo segment for a very, very long time. And all men, you know, a lot has been said that, you know, they went over this in the back. Everyone was really receptive to each other's ideas, which is great. You know, they were given a point of where to get to by Adam Pearce, who actually produced this segment. And they just, you know, Adam Pearce said, get to here. I don't care how you do it, get to here. And they basically went and done that. So yeah, it was so, so good. And it's really fun to have Raw kind of hitting on all cylinders, you know, going into this massive show, which is WrestleMania. I'm very much looking forward to the next couple of shows we have. We've obviously got a Go Home Raw. We've got a Go Home SmackDown as well. So they may be a bit, you know, chill in aspects, because a lot of the main storytelling has been done. Like Cody said on this last week of Raw, you know, we're kind of spinning our wheels now till we get to WrestleMania. But yeah, looking forward to the show, man. Looking forward to the show. And we're going to start today's show with someone that has recently signed their official WWE brand deal, becoming a member of the SmackDown roster, and has found themselves in a WWE WrestleMania 40 match straight off the bat. let's get into today's podcast. Jade Cargill's WWE SmackDown debut, SmackDown signing. It was all right, wasn't it? It wasn't too shabby at all. She came out looking like an entire red bag of money. Dollar notes, yeah? Like, she looked spectacular. Honestly, they know how to present the stars, and this is what they have made us wait for, because Jade Cargill isn't someone you can just throw out like that, yeah? They made a big deal about signing her. They knew she probably wasn't the finished article when they signed her. They've probably taken a bit longer than they would have liked to get her to whatever point they deem her ready right now. But my gosh, is she ready right now? She came out, made her debut, looked fantastic, signed her contract with general manager Nick Aldis, and then gave us a nice short and sweet promo that the SmackDown women's roster, they're great and all, but they're no Jade Cargill. And that's big words coming from someone that WWE, you know, didn't deem ready to just go straight from when she signed for the company. It's probably been the best part of 4 to 6 months since, maybe longer. Four to six months since they signed her. And now we're really kind of seeing her embedded on the main roster. Of course, we saw her on the Royal Rumble show. She was in the Royal Rumble match. But yeah, this is different. To see Jade Cargill now ready to go, given a position on the roster. She signed the contract, all of that kind of pageantry stuff. She's ready to go, man. And it wasn't just this segment where she signed the contract with Nick Aldis. Nuh-uh-uh. She came out in the main event following Bianca Belair defeating Dakota Kai on SmackDown. She came out because Damage Control then came to beat up Bianca Belair. Of course, Naomi promised Bianca earlier on the night, I've got your back. Naomi came out to back Bianca Belair. They were overran. And then Jade Cargill came to even up the numbers. 3-on-3. Jade Cargill, Naomi, and Bianca Belair. The sisterhood. Black girl magic. Black girl magicians. Let's call them that. I'm joking. Don't call them that, please. But honestly, it was so good to see all of them together and, you know, take down Damage Control, stand up tall, WrestleMania sign in the background, looking like three absolute superheroes. It was spectacular to see. And, you know, what warms my heart out of all of this is that it's been very well publicized that Naomi has been a key figure for both of these ladies. For Jade Cargill, Jade Cargill said, you know, as soon as I kind of got into this business, you know, I wasn't like a fan or anything like that per se, but once I got into this business, I started looking around at the landscape, and especially, you know, you look around for people that look like you. And she said Naomi was someone that definitely stood out to her. And Naomi has shown her nothing but love. We've seen that. They hang out outside of wrestling. When Naomi was away from the WWE, they were hanging out. Bianca Belair has said as well, it's on record, Naomi was someone that accepted her, brought her in, showed her love, all of that kind of stuff. So now they're standing next to someone that they respect so highly. These two women, which are still somewhat very young in their career. Bianca Belair, like, I think we forget how young Bianca Belair is in her career. Absolute freak athlete when it comes to this wrestling stuff, because she's picked up and ascended to the top so quickly. And I'm sure Jade is planning to do the same. Like, I'm pretty sure Jade is going to use the Bianca Belair template to ascend to the top very, very fast. I'm going to go on record here saying I don't even think Jade Cargill is going to be in wrestling in the WWE for very, very long. I think it's like a 5-year solid, let's hit it hard, get her name up into this next level, into maybe these other rooms, into these other programs and other mainstream outlets. I think Jade Cargill is coming for like a literal hit and run career. I don't think she's here to do this for the long term. 3 to 5 years, and I think she's out. But they can do the most and book her to the heights in that 3 to 5 years. And I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Not everyone needs to be a 20-year veteran and stuff like that. And of course, post that 3 to 5 years, she can come back, do, like, you know, little appearances here or there sort of thing, the big four and all of that kind of stuff. Deep down in my heart, I honestly don't think Jade Cargill is here for a long time. I think she's here for a good time, but she ain't here for a long time. So yeah, with that being said, Jade Cargill has already bagged her slot at WrestleMania 40 this year with her debut on SmackDown. It will be her, Bianca Belair, and Naomi teaming up against Damage Control's Dakota Kai and the Kabuki Warriors' Asuka and Kairi Sane. Should be a really fun match. Jade Cargill as like a WrestleMania debut, as a kind of like a real in-ring debut, because of course Royal Rumble was a thing, but you know, it's a bit of a cluster because there's a hell of women in there. So this is like a real, real match sort of thing. So I think Jade's going to be well protected in this match because she's got, you know, Naomi, who is a veteran at this point, Bianca Belair, very experienced, Kairi Sane and Asuka, super experienced, Dakota Kai, super experienced. So like she is covered by women that know what they're doing in that ring. And of course, they will go through the match and all of that kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to Jade's debut. I have said before, like, I wanted Bianca Belair to have a singles match with Tiffany Stratton. I have said before that I don't think Jade's first match should be in a multi-woman situation. A one-on-one match would have been nice. And I have said before that I didn't want us to kind of group all the black women together sort of thing. But this just feels right. Yeah, it looks good. It feels right. And I'm raring to go. I can't wait for Jade Cargill's debut, for these guys to have this match. It's an incredible match. Women having a match on WrestleMania away from the title as well, I think it's a plus, although it's not the trademark, you know, marquee kind of singles match that a lot of people still want. Incremental small steps. We'll get there, people. I know we're going to get there. But I will take this. I really will take this. Jade Cargill, welcome to SmackDown. This is going to be sensational. It's been a really big week for Becky Lynch. She's had her first book come out, and by all accounts, it's a fantastic book. I'm not really much of a book person myself to sit down and read. I just don't know where I'll find the time. Like, I want an audiobook and I will listen to that thing back to front. But very happy for Becky Lynch because it seems like she's worked on this for a very long time. And of course, with a book launch comes a tour and like a press run and all of that kind of stuff. So she was caught on MMA Hour this past week speaking to Ariel Helwani, where she stated she is in the last 2 months of her WWE contract. Now, this seems like it's increasingly becoming a thing where, you know, people aren't re-signing earlier. Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Becky Lynch's husband Seth Rollins are all within months left of their WWE contract. Now, for those of you that follow football or soccer, wherever you are in the world and whatever you call it, like, this is becoming a trend over there as well, where the footballers are running their contracts down and like leaving for free or signing new deals right at the end. And I think it's basically a money grab. It's making sure they can negotiate the best contract possible, because now I have literal days left, minutes left of my time to negotiate a contract and stay where I am. And to be honest, I do think this is what maybe these WWE superstars are doing as well. Becky Lynch has kind of said that, you know, she knows her worth, she knows what she brings to the table. So there is no fear in her, like, if you guys don't re-sign me, I'll be fine. Like, I will be fine. I am the man, Becky Lynch. She doesn't seem worried at all. And yeah, I can't see a world where she should be worried. I believe she made reference that, you know, it isn't a thing like I'm going to go to AEW. So I can't imagine her going to AEW anyway. AEW clearly have money for Becky Lynch, like, clearly. But I don't think she would go. I think if she was to kind of step away from WWE, it's a thing to just be at home, be a mom, do other things, try other ventures. She's already dipped her toe into Hollywood and acting and things of that nature. So it could just be to kind of open that door a bit wider as opposed to go somewhere else to wrestle. In that same interview, she actually mentioned how her plan was to actually sign for TNA, because at the time, TNA were treating women like the best out of all of these companies in North America. And she's right. It's true. TNA has a very long line, a lineage of treating women very well, booking them very well, booking them almost equal to the men, having stand up, stand out moments. So yeah, I can imagine her in TNA having a whale of a time, like just being absolutely brilliant and probably arriving at that main event scene quicker than she did in WWE via the whole man stuff and being punched by Nia Jax. I think WWE would be absolutely crazy to let Becky Lynch go. It would definitely be a thing, like I say, where if she wanted to leave, it would be completely down to her and her wanting to go and try other things, other ventures and stuff. And even then, I'm sure WWE would probably still want to sign her to a contract and then just give her time off to go and do these things. I don't think there would ever be a world where they kind of just let her be out of contract and not have a hold on her at all. Like, with the fear she could turn up elsewhere, because let's be honest, Becky Lynch turning up in probably AEW would be crazy. Like, it would be madness. She has become someone that, you know, you would call a WWE lifer at this point. And I think she sees herself like that as well. That's why I think she knows, like, if it's not WWE, I'm not going anywhere else. I will just do whatever I need to do and I'll probably return, sort of thing. So I think it's a thing of getting the best money possible, the best contract possible. We recently said that, you know, apparently Mercedes Moné may be the best paid woman in wrestling right now. So does Becky want to compete with that? Becky probably could compete with that. If Becky says, you know, she's on X, we need to match that or better it, I think WWE would do that for Becky, as I believe Becky is probably, you know, one or two in terms of top paid woman in WWE anyway, getting paid more than a lot of the men. So if Becky wanted to become the top paid woman in the company, maybe even the top paid woman in wrestling, I'm sure WWE would see to that request. And of course, she has her husband, Seth freaking Rollins, who, like I said earlier, his contract is running out too. So is it a thing where they're both kind of, you know, playing this game to command the best, biggest deal possible, you know, as a couple, to secure their financial futures? Again, Seth Rollins, can't really see him going anywhere else, but he was a real son of the indies, you know? That is a former Ring of Honor world champion. So if he wanted to go and dip his toe back into that side of the world, I think we can see it a lot more than a Becky Lynch sort of thing. Becky Lynch ran the indies as well, but of course, like, women's indies and the indies she was doing were like a lot smaller than the stages that, you know, a Tyler Black, former Seth Rollins, found himself in. So it's one of them ones where, you know, this could just be a very smart, savvy husband and wife duo trying to squeeze the machine for, you know, that good old coin to ensure their futures are patterned for a long time to come. So yeah, I don't see Becky Lynch turning up anywhere else. If Becky Lynch left WWE in 2 months, yeah, I don't know. I think if WWE were unable to re-sign Becky Lynch, coupled up with not re-signing Mercedes Moné because of money things and stuff, Okada choosing not to come, Will Ospreay not coming, I think WWE would need an intervention as to their inability to secure and do business with top, top stars. Honestly, if Becky Lynch walks out the door, there needs to be an intervention, because, yeah, WWE, their inability to secure some of these big free agents that has happened recently, that's one thing. Now, not being able to keep your own, yeah, that would be a discussion. But like I said, that might just be something in my head. Let me know if you think Becky Lynch is going to stay in the WWE. I can't see her anywhere else. But if she was to leave, crisis talks. It's been 3 weeks since Mercedes Moné turned up in AEW. CEO, all of that. And people are already talking. Patience is running thin. The IWC are doing their thing and voicing their opinion, and they're not happy. They're not happy because on her debut show, AEW Big Business, she came out, she cut a promo. You know, people thought, okay, like, it's fine. Like, the promo's okay. She's never really been a promo person, but it's good to have her here in AEW. The following week, she came out and, let's be honest, she basically cut the same promo again. And people were beginning to think, okay, what are we doing with her? Middle of the next week, we heard that she was going to be on commentary for the women's fatal four-way match that will determine the number one contender for the TBS title. She was on commentary. I can't really say she added too much to the commentary element. Of course, she is there to continue sowing the seeds between her and Willow Nightingale and whatever they're doing over there. And now people are becoming frustrated. The grace is beginning to run out and people are voicing their opinions that what are we doing? We keep putting Mercedes Moné, of all people, into positions to talk. Never been like a known talker, a mic man, mic woman, whatever you want to call it. And now we are running out of patience. And I hear it, to be honest. I hear it. Like, I have more patience for most. I do like Mercedes quite a bit, but I definitely hear what people are saying. I think some people are already disgruntled that they have chosen to kind of debut her within the TBS side of things, which is pretty much like the lower mid-card or mid-card area of the women's division, as opposed to right at the top of the card. I don't agree that she should have went for the title or anything, but it is very interesting to me that they've chosen to debut her in this position, maybe just because that's where Willow is, and obviously before she got injured in 2023, she was in a program with Willow Nightingale. So that makes sense to me as to why they've gone in at that level. And her elevating those women in and around that level, I think is very important as well, as well as potentially the TBS title. I still don't know where I sit with if she should win the TBS title. I think it's a bit of a sticky one sort of thing. But I'm happy where she is because of the work she's doing for those particular women. But like many have thought, she has been sent to AEW, or AEW have acquired her to really help make the difference. And putting Mercedes Moné in positions where she's just going to be speaking, just going to be talking and cutting promos, listen, it's not her strong suit. And anyone that has seen Mercedes Moné over the last 10 years or whatever it is will know that's not her strong suit, and it's not what you would primarily associate with her to bring to the dance. What you would associate with Mercedes Moné is getting in the ring between those ropes and doing what some women can't even dream of, and wrestling her ass off. And that is what she is so great at. And fans are beginning to wonder, when are we getting that? You know, when are we getting Mercedes Moné in a wrestling match? That is what people want at this juncture. Journalists are making their opinions heard and they want the same thing. They think that's what's best for business in regards to AEW. So it's going to be very interesting to see when that's going to be. AEW Dynasty is their next pay-per-view, which is towards the end of April. So there is still the best part of, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before we are seeing Mercedes Moné, if they plan to make her debut at Dynasty. And I think that could be very tricky, given where fans are now, to ask them to wait another 6, 7, 8 weeks for the actual in-ring debut of Mercedes Moné. I think it could be very, very tricky. And I'm not sure if people have the patience to wait for that. So AEW need to make a decision. I think AEW need to stick her in the ring, maybe with some other talents. You know, you got the Joshi girls there that are available. And again, that's reminiscent of what she was doing just before she got injured. She was in Japan having great matches with some of the talent from Stardom and stuff like that. So put her in the ring with some of the Joshi talents that they may have, or, you know, start really building towards this Willow Nightingale feud and building Mercedes towards what I assume will be the AEW world title fairly soon. Because, you know, she needs wins. You guys brought back the ranking system. So we need to see her in matches so that she can start building up wins to contend for whether it's the women's world title or maybe this TBS title as well. I think we do need to make sure here we are casting the talent we have into the correct roles. Like I said, she is a wrestler a very good wrestler. So get her in the ring and let her do her best work and let her win people over that way, so that people won't start, you know, talking negatively of herself and AEW for signing her and, you know, kind of not putting her to work straight away. And with that as well, I'll mention, you know, the CEO gimmick, the CEO character and stuff like that, which I'm absolutely fine with. Obviously, it's an iteration of the boss, of what she was doing in WWE, which wasn't really anything. It was just boss in name, but like not really kind of any real boss activity on screen. I guess they didn't really make it too gimmicky, but I just find the CEO thing, putting CEO in the theme tune even for her current, you know, AEW run, I just think that, you know, it's an obnoxious thing. You know, calling yourself a CEO in professional wrestling, it's obnoxious. It's a heel move, you know. So I would want to see a change in character. And I know her and Willow are telling a story right now, so the change may come. But I think this is another thing that's maybe disconnecting with fans. It's not really working because, you know, to call yourself a CEO is very up yours sort of thing. You see what I mean? So I think we need to see a changing character. I'm sure the heel promos will come a lot easier than her doing these, hi, happy to be here, like I'm AEW, I'm all elite kind of stuff that she's doing right now, and probably wearing thin on fans. Make her a heel. Let her go out and have some terrific matches. Start, you know, booking them matches from, I would say, the next week. Once we get into April, book some matches. Give her a couple of matches before that pay-per-view match. So yeah, I would literally keep it simple. This is Mercedes Moné, a fantastic women's wrestler. That's why you signed her, to improve the women's division, to help the overall booking of the women's division through great wrestling. Let's keep it simple. Let's just let Mercedes Moné wrestle. Right, so as promised, as it's WrestleMania around the corner, let's do some predictions. Yeah, love predictions. Absolutely enjoy doing them, seeing what you got right and what you got wrong and all of that kind of stuff. And I am going to be joined by my good mate Steve, SCW the Wrestling Channel, to talk our WrestleMania predictions. And of course, we can only do them for the matches that have been announced. I think there will probably be some more matches announced by the time this podcast comes out to you guys. But yeah, we'll do what we can with what we have. So stay tuned. Here comes myself and Steve with the WWE WrestleMania 40 predictions. Cool. So joining me at this time, friend of the show, friend of the channel, another great YouTuber and content creator when it comes to this wrestling stuff. I'm with Steve from the SCW Wrestling Channel. Steve, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on once again. And always a big fan of your content. So any chance to get to collab with you, it's like, yeah, where do I sign the dotted line? So pleased to be here today.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we done the Q&A on your channel a couple of weeks ago, which was great fun. And it was funny, I remember saying when you contact me to come and do that for your channel, I was thinking of you because I was looking at, right, we're getting into WrestleMania season, who can I have? And I thought, it's literally been a year since you were last on the podcast when we were talking about WrestleMania last year. And you infamously, because I remember it's actually one of my best performing podcasts, because really? The title was a quote of yours from the podcast where you infamously said, WrestleMania is not for us. And I think at the time we were in this transition period between a Vince McMahon running the ship and Triple H beginning to get, you know, the keys to the kingdom. And, you know, WrestleMania had traditionally been obviously more of the PG stuff, child friendly stuff. And nowadays you've got The Rock running around on TV, effing and blinding. Like how far away are we from, you know, that quote, would you say?
I mean, to be fair, it's a lot can change in 12 months. And like you said, I mean, The Rock doesn't even hear cut these days. He still carries on beating down Cody. That belt is definitely going to be different for, like, he's going to be covered with even more blood probably by the next time we see it on TV. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I still feel the same because, like, WrestleMania has always been about this idea of celebrity, this idea of, you know, this is the time when people that don't watch wrestling on the regular come in. So usually it's that attraction that brings them. And you could argue that with the way that WrestleMania The Road started, because the rumors were going to be it was going to be The Rock and Roman this year, whether it's true or not, whether it was always the course for Cody or not, plans changed. We kind of got what we or the majority wanted this year. You know, it depends if it's hashtag Cody Crybabies or if it's Cody fans, whatever you want to put it down as. But Cody, you know, is the guy that's going for Roman on night two. And we've got this mega tag match on night one. So in a way, you kind of feel like, has that tag match, in a way, I feel like it's brilliant because the press conference made it special. It's almost the match. I'm even more excited for that, arguably, than I am for night two at the moment, dare I say. But at the same time, has that taken away someone else's main event on night one? Because The Rock obviously was scheduled to be coming in, was scheduled to wrestle, was going to be, you know, a main event of WrestleMania. So the fact is, not Rock and Roman on night two, but it's going to be this tag match on night one. Cody and Roman are doing double duty. I believe the first time ever we're getting two wrestlers that are doing back-to-back main events on the same WrestleMania. So it's kind of, it's special. In a way, the fans got what they wanted, but in another way, we still have this thing where, you know, The Rock's on the card and I'm a Rock fan. I'm not going to complain. I'm happy he's part of the main event of one of the nights of WrestleMania. But at the same time, it's one of those things that The Rock is someone that brings those casual eyes in. I'm not gonna turn around and say to myself that I think, you know, little Joe from Georgia that doesn't watch wrestling all year round decides, right, okay, WrestleMania's the time. I've not heard of this Cody Rhodes guy. I'm tuning in for that. But they probably watched everything to do with The Rock, whether it's to do with, you know, his child movies, or whether it's one of the fans that comes from somewhere else that's seen his adult movies, that's what's going to bring them people in. So I still stick with what I say, but I think under Triple H there is probably a bit of a blend creeping in where, you know, you can see as a, even as a casual fan, if you come in for WrestleMania season, Cody, there is something special there. He can relate to the people, he can relate to the crowd, something different to what we've seen previously. So hopefully, to borrow a song title from Robin Thicke, hopefully we're back to blurred lines.
No, definitely. I think, yeah, we still have a lot to do to make this for us, like you were referring to. But I think we're getting there. We're definitely getting there. We're feeling more like, you know, this is on the cusp, at least, of being more grown as a product. I'll see if we feel like that when maybe The Rock isn't here in like a September and stuff like that. When The Rock's around, being on the board of TKO as well, I'm sure he's set to do whatever the hell he likes. But we'll see how, you know, it goes. But generally, as a WrestleMania, are you looking forward to it this year?
I am quite looking forward to this year. I've talked to people on my channel, as well as people that are not involved in the wrestling circle, and I genuinely believe this WrestleMania has the potential to be a top five WrestleMania of all time. I think when you look at the card from top to bottom, there's a lot of exciting matches. A lot of matches are well thought out. A lot of them, if you look at the stories, they actually go back a few months rather than just, like, you know, take LA Knight and AJ Styles, for example. It's really heated up from January, but the way the storyline has sort of dropped to us, it's almost really been since October. So it's like, well, hang on, a match that's probably going to be second or third of a card of a night of WrestleMania is actually still got like 5-6 months build. So I really think there's a lot of potential in this year. And I would say that, look, we'll learn with on the night. And obviously there's two nights to worry about, but I think this has got a top five potential.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it. I think it's taken me a while to kind of get to this point that, you know, infamous, what is going to be infamous Monday Night Raw beatdown at the end last week with The Rock absolutely handing Cody his ass. Like, I think that's what really, I could have got on the plane to Philly then. Because literally, I've said it all week, I would have just stood outside the stadium waiting for WrestleMania to start, because that was the moment where I thought, no, this is real. I'm now looking forward to this. But one thing that, you know, as content creators we do that gets us even more hyped for the event is predictions. So that is what I've got you here for today, my friend. We are going to go through the current card of WrestleMania 40. Of course, they will probably still add a few more matches. I think the current count is about 12 matches. Of course, that is it. That is over two nights. And so I think we're probably aiming for about 7 matches per night. But yeah, we're going to get started with the predictions. And we're going to start with the WWE Women's Championship match, Io Sky defending the title against Bayley. What have you thought of this build, and who's your money on?
So the build has been going on for arguably a year, you could argue, from the way that WrestleMania closed off, because Bayley wasn't getting the job done. Io Sky wanted the opportunity. She got it. She won Money in the Bank. Then she won the championship. And obviously, we've seen the way that Damage Control was built, and we've broke away. But in recent months, I do feel, especially since Bayley won that Royal Rumble, you know, we've seen lots of fans say, you know, it's time to give Bayley her flowers, because she's not really had they've not had the best build. I think because they've done a lot of their work pre-Royal Rumble, there's not so much left to have done since the Royal Rumble, if you know what I mean. I think that the breakup of Damage Control, when Bayley was, you know, arguably kind of kicked out of the group, I think it came kind of premature after the Rumble. I think they could have dragged it out a few more weeks. That being said, though, I think the match is going to be great when it comes to WrestleMania itself. I'm looking forward to it. Io, I've always thought, is one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. Bayley obviously has had moments as being a champion at WrestleMania in the past, but I think mainly the pandemic one was the one she walked into SmackDown when she was champion and left. So I think it's going to be good for her to have a big moment of winning a title in front of fans. It's sad it's not got a main event potential, being a Rumble winner for Bayley, but I still think it'd be great on the night, and I think Bayley will be your next WWE Women's Champion. Of course, we've dropped the Raw and SmackDown moniker names now.
Yeah, we have. I immediately thought, yeah, Bayley's gonna do this. I probably still tilt towards Bayley. I might say 60-40, but yeah. At the same time, Bayley is just so selfless that I think that she would probably recognize, if we're all being honest, Io Sky's run hasn't really been the best as champion. Her run has very much been embedded in this Damage Control stuff. So she hasn't really shone as an individual champion. And to a degree, I hope Bayley isn't selfless. I want her to have this moment of her winning. I hope she doesn't think that, okay, let me be like a big sacrificial lamb for Io's you know, title reign to kind of improve it. And then I also think Io has more competitors, high level competitors, if she remains as champion later on. They could have a Naomi, they could have a Bianca Belair. You know, I feel there's bigger names on that women's side, like of the face spectrum rather than the heels. If Bayley's to win, okay, she can get a rematch with Io Sky. Maybe a Dakota Kai can go after it as well.
Yeah.
Maybe a Bianca Belair in some friendly jest and Naomi. I just don't, if you see what I mean, I just don't feel like the balance of heel to face on the SmackDown roster is so much so in that will help Bayley's run. Io actually might benefit more. So I want Bayley to win too, but a small inkling of me thinks that Io could retain just so that they can birth another star sort of thing.
I think that would be a good move in a way, like you said, because a big win at WrestleMania for Io would really put her on a high pedestal. And then, like you say, you're talking then Io as one of the top players moving forward. I think the WWE draft could be after WrestleMania. I think last year they did it between Mania and Backlash. But if they don't do that, then I could agree with your point of, well, who does Bayley face if she wins those titles? So I see that argument. There is also the case, though, that Bayley's going through Jey Uso syndrome as well at the moment. The fact that she's been bad for so long that now that she's turned good, it's almost a little bit like, you know, do we trust her? You know, Bianca's coming, like, well, she's made her bed, let her lie in it. So
yeah,
you could think they could do that with could almost tease the idea of a Bianca heel turn in a way if they were to do a match with Bayley and Bianca for the women's championship should Bayley win. So it's going to be fascinating. And to be fair, I was very 99-1 that Bayley was going to do it, but you've put a bit of seed of doubt in the mind there. But I will stick with the Bayley one just for now.
Yeah, I think I'll stick with Bayley, and I, like I said, I want her to have her moment. But yeah, what's right for the division, which Bayley has always kind of done, what's right for the division, it may just be an Io Sky retention. Let's talk about the other women's world championship match: Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Although, like you mentioned, Bayley may have been shafted from a main event because, you know, she won the Rumble. If anything probably was the main event, it probably was this one, Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. They have also been shafted from that position because of everything going on with that top level story involving the Bloodline. Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. I'm going to go for a Rhea Ripley title defense. I think a year ago, I thought this was going to be the match, and I thought Becky Lynch wins to kind of then birth the next star, which she would do, drop it to someone else on the card. Right now, I don't see anybody beating Rhea Ripley. I just think she's on the run of her life. I think she's on an absolute tear. The title run starting slowly, with a few defenses against like a Zelina Vega and Natalia, stuff like that. Towards the end of last year, they started actually to build up credible challenges in the division. And her character work from last year leading into this year has been obviously very, very much situated around Judgment Day and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, as great as Becky Lynch is, as much of a star as she is, and as much of a barn burner performance they're going to put on, I just don't think that she can overcome Rhea Ripley at this time. What's your thoughts?
Honestly, I like the way they've teased this through the year, because, you know, you could have said, oh, could this have been at SummerSlam? Could it have been at Survivor Series? Could it have been at the Rumble? They've always crossed paths just when they've had we're going to finish off the feud they're going to have before they start the next one. And it's always just been that cross backstage and just leave it. So I like the fact they've teased this match for a long time. Like you said, now it's coming. We're finally getting it at WrestleMania, and it does feel like a big time feel. I do wonder if we're going to get a similar syndrome to last year. Obviously, WrestleMania 39, Rhea and Charlotte were arguably one of the matches of the year, and they didn't get their main event spot. And I think Rhea and Becky could want to prove that same point again this year. So I think this match is going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. I am on the same camp as you, though. I think there's no way Rhea is losing this championship anytime soon. She has been so dominant. I feel that the only person capable of taking that title from Rhea right now is Bianca Belair, currently on paper. It's the only one. And I think that's also a WrestleMania match. They've teased that for a couple of years. I think it's next year at WrestleMania. But at the same time, I feel that Becky's contract situation can't be ignored. It seems to be heavily rumored right now that she's only got a couple of months left. I don't think she's going anywhere. I think she's sticking around. However, it would be almost insanity if someone's leaving your company or could leave your company in a couple of months and they have your championship. It just feels like WWE wouldn't give that power away, whoever it is. So I'm going to go for Rhea to retain.
Yeah. And to your point with Bianca Belair, I predict the exact same thing next year. That will main event, even if it's the night one main event, Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair for that world title. It's going to be Bianca's streak versus Rhea Ripley's undefeated run. By then, surely, I think she would have, you know, broken any record for longest reigning women's champion and stuff like that. So, I definitely think that's what we're in for next year. Let's move on to the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship, as the champion calls it, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. I'll let you start. What's your thoughts of how we've got to this match, and who do you think's going to win?
It's almost the hardest match to predict for me on this entire card, because a month ago, I thought this match was going to happen, and I was clear of what I thought would be the result. However, the storyline for me, I think, needed a few more weeks. I think the match is going to be brilliant. I think the match could steal the whole weekend. But I feel, especially with the fact that Sami Zayn has his run to get this match, and then now it's the fact that Gunther's in his head, and now he feels like he's going to get Chad Gable as like a coach. Feels like almost Sami wants to go through the academy just at the last minute. And I wish we'd just seen more time to see Sami and Chad backstage work and their thing to show us why Sami is going to be ready for Gunther come WrestleMania, especially when it comes to the mind games. I'd just like to have seen that. Maybe they'll find a way to give us that in Brooklyn on Raw. I'm not sure, but I still feel to myself that would be nice just to give a few more weeks just to establish this feud further. However, it's hard to back against Gunther. I was going to originally, this is what I originally predicted, and this goes to another match later in the card, so unfortunately, but bear with me. I thought Sami and KO were both going to win my mid-card titles, and I thought they were going to get a Benoit and Eddie Guerrero moment where they could celebrate with championships at WrestleMania.
Makes sense, yeah.
It does make sense. However, I'm not sure I still feel that way. I feel it's time for Gunther to move to the heavyweight title division. I think it would have happened had it been a triple threat match with Chad Gable involved. Since that's not going to happen, I'm going to go for Gunther to retain. I think that Chad Gable is made a point to Sami, and the fact that we've got such little time between now and Mania, I think that we may need at least another month to get that title off Gunther.
Yeah, I agree that Gunther probably retains here. I think Sami Zayn, obviously, he won the gauntlet to get this opportunity. I think that's all this is, his opportunity. Mm. Obviously, we're seeing a story brewing between Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, Chad Gable still being involved in what Gunther is doing. I do think Chad Gable's probably the guy that's going to beat Gunther for this title. But right now, it's just Sami Zayn's turn to have it, have a go at it. Like you, I think they'll probably steal the weekend with a fantastic match. But I think Gunther retains as well. I don't think he's losing that title to Sami Zayn at Mania.
Yeah.
The undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship ladder match. This is an absolute cluster. It's going to be a car crash, this match. Finn Balor and Damian Priest of the Judgment Day defending the titles against DIY, The Awesome Truth, New Day, New Catch Republic, and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. For a long time, I thought that this is going to be an Awesome Truth win because of the whole relationship between R-Truth and the Judgment Day and stuff like that. I still think they're going to win. However, I just feel like you can do so much more than with any other kind of team than the Awesome Truth. Like, it'll be a great moment, and then Monday Night Raw, then what sort of thing. That's how I kind of feel if they win it. Who do you think is going to leave with the titles?
So, when it comes to this, there's a theory that's going around on social media. In fact, we discussed it when you was on my Q&A. And I think that there could be some legs with this because there are six teams, Raw and SmackDown involved. We still have tag team championships that have Raw and SmackDown on them. However, SmackDown never really gets their own tag team titles. So the theory that was going around was that one team would pull off the Raw tag team titles and another team would pull off the SmackDown tag team titles. And this is a way to finally separate them and get them on their individual shows again. There was another theory that was put to me of how one team gets hold of one Raw and SmackDown and one member gets hold of one of the other. So it's kind of like, okay, we've got a bit of confusion, or even further, so we have to have some other matches to determine this. But I think that could be too confusing for WrestleMania. So I am going to go with, like you said, their Awesome Truth. They have been heavily plugging the idea that R-Truth has not won at a WrestleMania, and he's been in the company for, I think it's since 2001. They are saying 30 years. It's not as long as that. I think 2000, 2001. So I think it's time for him to win a match at WrestleMania. And the fact is as well that Truth could be the one that could climb the correct ladder after. I'm sure he'll just pick out a step ladder to begin with in the match, because it just is Truth. He's going to do something comedic at the start. But I think he will be the one that will take the titles off. And I think that the whole place is going to be thunderous when he does it.
Yeah, and because it's Truth, that's why I'm in the camp as well. I've heard the rumors, and I'm in the camp that, you know, he can go up the ladder and he can just pull down the Raw tag team titles, and Miz is telling him, well, you know, you forgot the other one, sort of thing. And he's like, no, we're on Raw, like that's it, we've won. So, and then maybe the match continues, you get that. I do think it's maybe a bit convoluted for WrestleMania, but at the same time, I do think it's better than Adam Pearce and, you know, Nick Aldis coming out and officially separating titles that are unified titles, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So a bit of a mess, but like I said, this entire match is going to be a car crash. So we'll see how we do with it. We've got the United States Championship match as well. Logan Paul, the champion, defending against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. You obviously just mentioned not too long ago that you thought previously Kevin Owens was going to get the win here. Who's your money on? Is it still Kevin Owens or someone else?
No. Now that I don't believe Sammy's winning, I believe KO is taking the fall. I think hearing that SummerSlam is now going to be in Cleveland and Logan Paul is the heavy promotion for it, a part of me thinks that him and Randy Orton will end up being a singles match at SummerSlam. So it's going to be one of those two walking away as United States champion. Now, for me personally, I'm not too keen on the idea of Randy Orton as United States champion, just because of the fact that I think he's above that level. And I think if someone could get a better rub, if you want, by beating Logan Paul, the social media megastar, if you will. LA Knight, for example, would be a great candidate, in my opinion. Mm. However, I think Logan Paul is going to take one of the most spectacular RKOs ever in this match. I can see that. He's surely going to want that. So I'm going to predict Randy Orton to win. And we can see what it leads to down the line, whether it's Orton and Logan at SummerSlam or Logan versus Cena at SummerSlam. I think Logan gets one of those two in Cleveland.
Oh, now you've planted the seed in my head. I totally didn't consider that. Yeah, I don't think Kevin Owens is winning. If Randy Orton wins, for me, it's because he's Randy Orton. I think I'll play it safe and I'll stick with Logan Paul. I did kind of think Logan Paul would retain at this point. You mentioned LA Knight. I thought the original match might have been some type of six-pack challenge or LA Knight versus Logan Paul, where I would have 100% said LA Knight is winning. But with the current field, I think I'll stick with a Logan Paul win. And you mentioned SummerSlam. Yeah. I think since they mentioned the SummerSlam in Cleveland, I kind of thought it was going to be Cody Rhodes defending the world title against Logan Paul at SummerSlam. I mean, to be honest, he could still be United States champion if that happens or not. But yeah, I think we'll have to see. Okay, we're split on that one. Randy Orton, Logan Paul. We'll see how it goes. We'll see maybe over the next week of programming if our minds change further. Yeah, literally. We mentioned him, so let's talk about him. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Like you mentioned earlier, they've been fighting since about October. We've seen, you know, AJ Styles getting on an aeroplane to catch LA Knight in the Elimination Chamber. We've seen home invasions by LA Knight. We've seen LA Knight now dressing up as a member of staff to get his hands on AJ Styles. They're making the most out of what I would respectfully call a bit of a nothing feud. But they are making the most out of it. Who gets the win? I want to say AJ Styles. I really do. But I just think momentum says LA Knight. So I'll go with LA Knight. But if I'm completely honest, I don't believe it. In my heart of hearts, I don't even believe what I'm saying. What do you think?
For me, this is one of those weird matches at WrestleMania, like you say, because it's technically a nothing match. And if we're going to look at the right move, in my opinion, I think the right move is that LA Knight wins, because he's the fresher face, even though he's not necessarily much younger than AJ Styles. He's the fresher face, the new kid on the block. And you have the chance to maximize the star power, the shirt sales. If he keeps losing, that is going to fade away like a Dolph Ziggler. And we're not going to be talking about LA Knight in a few months' time.
True.
But AJ is, I believe I've seen this on the socials, that he's rumored to be having a new entrance music at WrestleMania because his current one doesn't fit who AJ is now. I'm struggling to see who AJ is now. So I'd like to see what this music is, because AJ is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And if you ask me this question up to about 6 months ago, he was my favorite WWE superstar, but he's not been around enough in the last 12 months for me to still warrant saying that. So for me, I think the right move is LA Knight, but I wouldn't be surprised if LA loses here and AJ gets the win and they drag this over another month. But for me, I think it's time for the air movement.
Yeah, I think AJ Styles, like, they brought him back, he looked great, he looks in great shape. He's obviously angry, he's obviously a heel, but it's like, why? They haven't really kind of given his character, like, they've changed his character, but it's almost haven't given it a purpose or as to why, you know, he is this person he is now. So it's a weird one.
It's a bit much for, like, because the whole thing's that when we say go back to October, it's like LA Knight filled his spot because he got taken out by the Bloodline. He backed up John Cena. It's like, yeah, you backed up John Cena and took my spot. It's like, well, you weren't going to make it. So, I mean, like, you don't need to be too angry with him. Like, did you not care that John Cena was going to go in 2-on-1 then down? It's just about you getting your revenge and not caring about the others involved. So, in a way, it's a bit of a weird one, but it's like, yeah, you jumped in, you took my spot, you took my championship match at Crown Jewel. But you weren't going to be there. So you got a chance of the Rumble and then you both cancelled each other out. So you've only got yourselves to blame a little bit. So yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you with this. I want to see more what the purpose of this heel AJ Styles is, because he's even broke away from the OC to the point they've had to go to NXT. Paul Meechan just struggles to get on TV in general. So, I mean, it's a shame with that group, really, because I was quite excited when they were actually drafted to SmackDown and AJ made his return back last May.
Yeah, we'll see if, like you're saying, the change of music and all of that stuff gives purpose. I would like to see at least AJ Styles gather some momentum over the year. So, like, the likes of a Cody Rhodes, who may become champion, which we'll talk about soon. Like, he has some, you know, credible challengers for that title that can put on some great matches with him. Even in defeat, AJ Styles, I feel that's where he should be, as opposed to just doing a bit of this mid-cardy stuff. But we'll see how it works out for these guys. Another match which I don't feel they've told the story particularly well, but this is going to be one for the ages just because of, you know, their brothers, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. Like I was saying, I feel like that moment of Jey coming out number one in the Rumble, Jimmy coming out number two in the Rumble, I feel was fantastic. Jey sold it so well, watching his brother walk down. And then for me, that was it. In the Rumble, like, they kind of wasted the opportunity to do something in the Rumble to kind of really kind of point us in the direction that this is what we're getting at Mania. And then since then, kind of really tell a heartfelt story. I feel like they're relying on, you know, the story has been told through the Bloodline stuff. I think they're relying on that they are brothers and that they're probably going to have some VHS footage of them rolling around wrestling in the living room and all of that kind of stuff. And the vignette is going to be absolutely epic. It's going to be fantastic by the time they show us it. But in terms of really telling this story, I don't know. I feel like they may have let us down a bit. What's your prediction for this match and what's your feelings going into it?
Yeah, I kind of have the same feeling as you. The Rumble is where was a real missed opportunity, because it's like if one eliminates the other, and yeah, particularly say like Jey was screwed at the Rumble due to Jimmy, for example, that would have been the perfect ingredient, because I feel WWE is relying on the idea of, yes, Jimmy cost Jey the Tribal Combat match at SummerSlam. Yes, he cost him the tag team titles. Later, he cost him the IC title. So I get where they're coming from. Like there is the arguments there of why this feud is happening, but it's just there's been so many gaps in the middle that we needed something just to really pinpoint and say this is kicking off from here. And it's like, I do know why Jimmy's cost Jey the IC title, but they've not really sold that to what they could have done. It could have been a case of like, you know, you're moving on without me and I'm not going to let you kind of thing. Like you're not better than me. I'm better than you sort of thing. I don't feel we've seen so much of that. And I feel like when the story was told, when these two had a promo back and forth from Raw, the idea that it was Jey that wanted to leave the Bloodline. Well, if we watched Night of Champions last year, it was clearly Jimmy that wanted to leave the Bloodline first and did the super kick, and Jey looked all confused and stuff. Yes, exactly. We can go a bit back, and it was teased with Jey doing it, weren't sure what he was and wasn't going to do, but he stuck around. He did stick around. He didn't leave. So, I don't know. In places, it's clutching with straws, but to go just deep into prediction, because I could talk about this one for like an hour, but I'm actually going to say that Jey is established as a single star, although I think he needs a couple of big wins. Jimmy is not. Jimmy has almost been the fall guy for a lot of things. And I think that if you look back at previous WrestleManias, we've had brother versus brother, Brett versus Owen, Matt versus Jeff. When it was Brett versus Owen, Owen won. You'd expect that Brett would win. When you had Matt versus Jeff, you'd expect Jeff to win and Matt won. I think because those guys needed it more. Jimmy needs it more. And Jimmy's going to win at WrestleMania and Jey will win later.
Man, we do. I think Jey is gonna win. I think for literally, and this might sound so stupid, but it's the optics of just the whole arena doing the little hand bounce thing. Like, I think that's it. I think Jimmy, like you said, he's the fool guy. Even sadly, Solo's become somewhat of a fool guy within the Bloodline. He's got a terrible record right now, but I just think that, yeah, this has to be the point where, you know, if Roman hits rock bottom and The Rock, and they will lose, and Jimmy hits rock bottom with them sort of thing. Like, I just don't see Jimmy being the one. This isn't going to be a WrestleMania for the Bloodline, apart from maybe night one, which we'll get onto. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Jey. Definitely the odd brother has always got the win in mm-hmm. these past encounters, but I think this time Jey gets the win at Mania.
That's fair.
This match, I think, has totally just been thrown together, and I'm not too pleased about it. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. I mean, Dragon Lee is just forced into the story as of last night, as a time of recording. and I'm literally watching Rey Mysterio's face as he says it's going to be Dragon Lee tagging with him, and Carlito is like stone-faced, because now what Rey Mysterio done to Escobar, overseeing Escobar for Carlito, he's literally done to Carlito and gone and grabbed Dragon Lee. So I think Rey Mysterio might get beaten up again somewhere down the line. And then Dominic Mysterio kind of finding his way back into this story. I thought the icing on the cake last year was perfect. I watched WrestleMania 39 again a couple nights ago, and I just thought that match was just so good, and the story was so well told at that time. Why we've now, we're trying to kind of relive it through this tag match, I just don't really know. In terms of who's going to win, I'm going with Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. What do you think?
Rey's got a habit of putting his foot in it, hasn't he? He's got a real habit of it. Yeah. I mean, look back to that United States Championship opportunity when he won the title from Fury, and it was like, it was supposed to be Escobar. Escobar got hurt and Rey jumped in like Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 9. He couldn't get there quick enough, could he, to win that championship. So I wasn't surprised that Escobar did it. And like you said, Dom is sort of thrown in. So I agree with everything you say. This has all been thrown together. It's very last minute. It felt like it was going to be LWO versus Legado del Fantasma, and the way it was going, because they did that angle. But then Dom got involved. And the reason I think Dom might have got involved, and I'm going to be slightly controversial, I mentioned the draft earlier, I think Dom could be breaking away from Judgment Day in the draft. And I think this could be a tease to see how he fares without them.
Do you think he'll break away as a cause of the draft, or just he's leaving Judgment Day in another way?
Well, we didn't talk about Judgment Day earlier on, but I think the pieces are going to fall apart once they lose those tag team titles. And I think that Damian Priest is the one that can break away as the top singles babyface, if you will, with the briefcase. And I think Finn Balor will be chasing him as the heel to begin with. Dominic, I think, has had his time with Mummy, has had his time with the group. He's been protected enough. I think it's time for him to experiment something different, because he gets the reaction. Let's see if he can still get that reaction on his own without needing the group. JD McDonough, bless him, I think, is just going to continue on having a big head and getting beaten up and taking great bumps on a weekly basis. But for Dominic, I think that this could be something where maybe he ends up with Legado. Maybe that's where the direction could be. He could be a good fit for that. Rather than being one of the Judgment Day or NWO B squad, he could end up being the one of the elite members of Santos's group, because you kind of lacking maybe a number two in that position where he could be the mid-card champion and Santos can try and push to be the top guy. I agree with you. I think that Santos and Dominic are winning this one. And I think Carlito, look, Carlito's not always been a good guy. So I think he'll be a bad guy here. He spits in the face of people that don't want to be cool. Well, I could argue and say Rey Mysterio has not been cool here. If he gets a bit of apple in his face, I can't say he didn't deserve it.
Yeah, I agree, man. Rey Mysterio, he I think he means well, but he literally sticks his foot in it, like you said. Let's go to this almost all-star women's match. We've got Damage Control in the shape of the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai, who is like the new de facto leader of the group, going up against Naomi, Bianca Belair, and SmackDown's newest signee, Jade Cargill. Again, as of time of recording, this is kind of fresh off the press that Jade Cargill is going to be part of WrestleMania 40. What's your thoughts on Jade now having a home on SmackDown and joining this particular program? And this is going to be like her first official match at WrestleMania.
I think it's a good placement for her. I think SmackDown is the right home for Jade Cargill. I don't know if necessarily I believe everything I read on the internet. I don't know, it's just a lesson I've been told over the years. But, with Jade, she's still inexperienced. I think that's a fair thing to say. She had a great run in AEW, but she's coming to WWE, and it's a different ball game in WWE, with the fact of how they have presentation is more important and stuff, and they have different ways of doing their in-ring work and different styles. And I think that Jade is adapting to that style, and a great way to protect her is, first off, to do a tag team match at WrestleMania. Second is to put her on the show that is not as long every week, because Raw has the longer matches most of the time, and SmackDown has the shorter matches. So I think it's a great way of not overexposing Jade too early in her WWE career. I think it's the right movement. I think it's the right placement. And I think that being aligned with Bianca Belair and Naomi, two arguably you could say seasoned veterans at this point. Bianca's in her prime, you could say, against the Damage Control group. I think it's going to be a fun one. I can see the babyfaces winning here. It just seems weird to have Jay Cargill win a WrestleMania match now and her lose. And you mentioned earlier on in this, Bianca has a streak as well. So yeah, I think that they're all picking up the WrestleMania win this year.
Yeah, this is something that weeks ago I was like, no, let's not do this sort of thing. I didn't want these women in Naomi, Bianca and Jade to kind of be all together sort of thing. And then at the same time, I was very much invested in Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton. I think Tiffany Stratton's actually been like shortchanged. Now she's not going to be on the WrestleMania card because, yeah, I think that she totally deserves it.
I completely agree that Tiffany not being on Mania feels crazy at this point, because they have been sort of teasing the idea with her and Bianca. And I wonder with Oscar, there's been rumors about an injury of Oscar. I don't know how true, legit, again, protected in the six-woman tag team match as well. She's protected in that. But maybe Tiffany could have took the place of Oscar. And I think there's still time to do that if it's needed. But it would be a shame if Tiffany doesn't make it onto the card. I'm unaware if there's anything special for WrestleMania SmackDown, a Battle Royal, for example. But maybe she can be showcased and win something like that if that's a different opportunity that she will get.
Yeah, they're definitely doing the men's Battle Royal on SmackDown. They haven't announced a women's one. But okay. I just didn't want it to happen. But after the kind of angle that ended SmackDown and seeing them all together, I just thought, you know what? It looks right. They look great together. It feels right. Let's go ahead. Let's do it. So, that is going to be a very kind of big match and definitely want to pull in eyes again from elsewhere, that you just see these three guys all kind of, or three ladies all together against Damage Control. So looking forward to it. Mm. Right. We're getting towards our main event type matches now. We've got the big tag match that's going to main event night one, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. I think the Bloodline dudes are going to win. I think we are heading for a night two Bloodline rules match where it's going to be completely overbooked and just so much fun. I don't think you can put The Rock in this kind of situation and The Rock doesn't win. Who gets pinned? I'm not necessarily sure. Who will do the pinning? I'm not necessarily sure. But I think this is a very straightforward way to kind of protect The Rock. Obviously, first match back in ages with a tag match, you won't have to do too much work, and we can just sow the seeds for the night two. And you know, we've all been talking about how we're all looking forward to the night one main event. We're even looking forward to Cody versus The Rock, and that's not even advertised. And I think that's what they've literally been doing, selling us on this night one match, because night two is already taken care of. We know that's the main event. We know what we're getting. The stipulation is really the only thing that's going to be decided. So, I'm going to go with The Rock and Roman Reigns for the win. What about yourself, Steve?
It would be criminal at this point to be offered a Bloodline rules match on night two and not take it. That would just be, you know, it's like, yay, the Bloodline rule ban from ringside. I suppose, yeah, it's what as babyface fans, I suppose, would want. You know, it's great for the families and the kids. You know, Cody's got a fair shot, but you don't want Cody. Cody's been looking to finish a story for like 2 years, and I could be longer if you really look into it. We're in, hopefully, final chapters. Doesn't necessarily give my night two main event prediction away, but I'm hoping that we are, you know, we're in the sequel of this book currently. We're deep into it. And if we're going to go to WrestleMania, it shouldn't be smoothly Cody gets the night two, hoorah, let's go. He's had adversity for like however long. So Cody needs to be pinned. He needs to be pinned by the final boss. Roman could just be there lapping it up, because the fact that Cody's hurt as well, he's been whipped and he's hurt his knee or something. How is Cody going to cope in night two? Because he's hurt, he's injured, he's been pinned by The Rock, and now he's got to be, you know, in a match where all of the Bloodline are partially going to be involved. And that's another reason why I'm going for Jimmy to beat Jay, because it's the idea that Jay can't even get in to help Cody, and Jimmy is there to help Solo, to help Roman, to help the, you know, they're all going to be involved because they're all fresh and they're good, yet Cody's initial potential backup will not be. You know, we've got to look at the rights of Seth Rollins. We've not talked about him yet. Is he going to be good to go when it comes to main event time in night two? He's got Drew to worry about and he's got Punk to worry about. So I'm going for, like you said, Team Bloodline, the power trip of 2024, Rock and Roman to win. And yeah, it's going to be a fun sight to see because they can do a lot with this on night one to really sell fans more into night two.
That's exactly it. Okay, we'll obviously come back to this in the shape of the night two main event. In the interim, we'll talk about the World Heavyweight title match, Seth Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre. Talk to me about what you think of this feud between these two guys and who do you think is going to win this one?
I am loving Drew McIntyre. I think he is on a roll. I love the fact he's almost gone back to like 2020 where he didn't care and then fans kind of got on side of it. But he did it in a babyface way because he'd been a heel, been a boring heel throughout 2018 and 19. He's kind of done the opposite. I think we got bored of the babyface and went, well, I'm going to have this kind of like, you know, screw it attitude and say what I want. These t-shirts and stuff on CM Punk. It's been amazing TV from Drew McIntyre. And the fact he said as well that Seth is not really getting involved with his story enough, like it's, you know, he's been too concentrated on what Cody's doing, the Bloodline's doing, but he's been too focused on CM Punk, and he's got caught out this last week on Raw to the point now Punk is involved in the match, not gonna be counting with his left hand for a 1-2-3, but he's gonna be sitting in the commentary booth. This rivalry is growing on me week on week because legitimately it feels like Drew and Seth hate each other, which is what you want to see, number one. The fact that CM Punk is going to be involved around ringside as well, which of course both Seth and Drew hate as well. This is after this past week on Raw has gone up two or three levels just because of the fact that now it feels anything can happen. And I'm really excited for this match because of that, because I now literally believe any outcome is possible.
This is it. Like, I'm just thinking, well, after the tag match that will happen on night one, Seth Rollins isn't going to be in the best of conditions. So, you know, that's an advantage to Drew McIntyre already. CM Punk now on commentary. And you mentioned, and he teased it on SmackDown, Priest did that briefcase. Does CM Punk want to see either of these guys leave with a world title? I mean, it's a very interesting situation, and definitely, you know, throwing the spanner that is Damian Priest in there as well has made it even more intriguing with CM Punk on commentary. If it's a straight up match, I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre must win it. If Drew McIntyre doesn't win, I actually probably even go as far as saying that he's probably leaving the company because he is one of these names that hasn't signed a new contract allegedly. So if he doesn't win, I would probably think, I'll probably be a lot more worried because I'm quite invested in Drew, like yourself, right now. And with all the good work and the heat he's obtained recently, to walk into any other company with this, like, it's going to be crazy. So, but I do think it's Drew McIntyre for the win at this point. Damian Priest and his little, you know, hint, nudge at the title situation and the Money in the Bank, I don't know what they're going to do with that. I've always thought if Seth Rollins is to retain, then Damian Priest must cash in like night after on Monday Night Raw or something, you know, and become champion then. But if Drew McIntyre wins, yeah, I don't want him to have a one-day reign or anything like that. So, yeah, I'll go with Drew McIntyre, but there are so many spinning wheels in this situation. It's almost very difficult to call.
I have a feeling you're not going to like my prediction for this one. I've got a feeling. Because I agree. We talked about this before about Damian Priest, you know, the heist of the century happened to the guy who originally did it 9 years later. But I think we will get a conclusive finish because I don't think Drew's going anywhere. Like, they've built too much for him. Even with CM Punk, that match could happen at SummerSlam or Survivor Series. It feels like it's built. It would be stupid to have built it and then he leaves the company and they don't get a payoff later in the year. However, I do think that Drew is going to get that moment in front of fans. I think he wins, but I don't think CM Punk is going to like it. And I think it's going to be something with those two that will lead to Priest cashing in immediately afterwards. I think Drew is going to be champion and have his moment for a few minutes and he'll get his comeuppance on the same night in the same segment. And I think that that can lead Priest as well. If we mentioned about this Judgment Day idea I have to break away, Priest can roll off as a babyface, and they could even do him and Finn Balor as a feud for the title come Backlash in Paris.
You know what? I'm not angry at that. I think where a lot of people have said Priest cashes in at Mania and wins, it's the whole literally running down the ramp, joining the match, literally like Seth Rollins done it. So if we tick the box of Drew McIntyre winning, the match is over, he's celebrating, he's having his moment. Like you said, he might have some back and forth with Punk where, you know, he's rubbing it in Punk's face, and then, you know, Punk kind of chucks it back to him, maybe hits him, and then Priest comes running out. I could live with that. I don't mind that, to be completely fair. I just don't want it to look exactly how Seth Rollins cash in looked, sort of thing. Yeah, very interesting. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see. But I think either way, Seth Rollins has done well as a World Heavyweight Champion. Under no circumstance should he leave with the title. And if he does escape WrestleMania with the title by the end of Monday Night Raw, I'll definitely be calling for Damian Priest to have cashed in by then. Well, we'll see. And last but not least, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, in what we both assume is going to be a Bloodline Rules match. He's got to finish the story, right, Steve? This has got to be it, right?
This may be a surprise to some. I'm not much of a reader, Max. I don't have the time to sit down and read a long epic novel. The fact, though, that when it comes to my pro wrestling, I do like a story and I do like a journey, and we've gone on a hell of a ride. But there comes to a point where I think the time is now, and the fans, if all was true, got what they wanted with Cody. You have to pull the trigger. I know that, like, Roman is about 6 months away from beating Hogan's record, and then he's not far from Backlund's record, and then it's just San Martino to go. But as much as Roman's reign has been dominant, and there is still more for him to do, there's our new challenges always around the corner. I am ready for a different WWE vision, a different look at the top. We need new champions, because we talked about, you know, Drew or Damien, whoever's with one title. We need it as well with the other one. Roman's had it for too long. We need to start varying things up a little bit, because it gets a bit same and boring. So I agree with you. It's just how we're going to get there. Is it going to be simply, which was the original prediction for me, and I think you have said the same when we spoke last, was the idea of The Rock perhaps being a reasoning for it, of this overbooked one. But I can't help but look back at Monday Night Raw and feel things are done for a reason, and Triple H does like to leave these little Easter eggs, and happy Easter, everybody. We saw the truck, and of course two faces that were on that truck were Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena. If you take away The Rock's main event from WrestleMania 2000 out of it, those are the other main events that Rock has had at WrestleMania. Austin twice and Cena twice. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think to myself, like, that it feels like, again, this Rock main event feel, but also an impact of how the Bloodline, it's Bloodline Rules, just because of the fact that Bloodline can get involved, other people can't help, can get involved for Cody's side as well. So if we end up with some sort of Avengers style super group that takes down the Bloodline of all these legends of, you know, Cena, and because Cena had problems with Solo, you know, Austin because of The Rock's history as well with him, I wouldn't be against it. To be honest, half of it probably would make sense, but I wouldn't care. I would be completely loving life just seeing all these cameos involved here. It's not the way I envisioned Roman to lose his title, but at the same time, I think we can all agree that if Cody does finish the story, and he is the one to do it, he's had a hell of a run the last couple of years. I don't think WWE are going to screw it up with Cody as the top guy.
Not at all. Like, Cody has been well prepped. He's ready for this position. Yeah. He always looks the part. He comes across very well. He's here for the fans. Like you, you have to. You actually must at this point overbook this match. Mm. Like, because to be honest, it has been Roman Reigns' story. Like, he has to have interference, he has to have the help and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, let's do it. And I think it's a situation where the Bloodline are on top. Like, Cody is really struggling. The likes of his current part of the main roster, on screen allies, the Seth Rollins will hobble out, the Jey Uso will come out, maybe even a Sami Zayn, a Kevin Owens. These guys will come out to help Cody, and none of them are gonna make any distance with the help, and then you get a Cena, and then you get an Austin, and these guys really are the equalizers now. And then I think you take away all that noise. So you've had that real sports entertainment element of this match. The fans are on their feet. And then you give us, like, I don't know, 5 to 7 minutes of just pure Roman and Cody going at it. And that is where you get almost a clean finish between these two, a definitive finish where Cody pins Roman, no more distractions because they've all, you know, been taken care of. So we get like the best of both worlds in that sense. But like you, I'm as much of a Roman fan, I am, I have been since way before the Tribal Chief stuff. Like, it's time. It's time to crown someone else. I think there's a lot of top guys in and around WWE now, a lot of top guys budding for that spot as well. And we can really do with freshening it up. And I think they've realized Roman and Rock can happen next year. It probably main events night two next year without the title. So let's get there without the title. Like, I just don't feel like the title is any more beneficial to this story at this point. For me, it's got to be Cody.
It has. The story is there as well to build it, because the fact is, like you said, Roman becomes vulnerable because for the first time he's been without championships for years. What does he do? How does he react? He probably blames The Rock, because on the road to WrestleMania, who's been the noisy one? It's been The Rock. He's the one that's been calling a lot of the shots. Everything was fine for Roman before The Rock got involved. And now The Rock comes in, gets involved. Roman loses those championships. Rock doesn't necessarily have to turn on Roman at WrestleMania. They can do it another way.
Yeah. That is true as well. That is true as well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I think, like I said, we need to have that real overbooked feeling to this match, but then give us just a definitive finish as well. I don't want anyone to really play into it, because I think that could potentially harm Cody, or, you know, leave opinions on Roman. Is there any part of you, to finish off here, that you think Roman could retain?
Of course, it's happened every show since Payback 2020. So, I mean, I've got to the point where I've said to myself, it doesn't matter what show of the year it is, unless it's WrestleMania, the prediction is always Roman. So this has to finish at a WrestleMania, because it's then arguably one of the biggest WrestleMania moments of all time. So if Roman retains here, you'll hear the same Roman prediction until next year's WrestleMania. But yeah, of course there's a part of me that feels it, because we're used to seeing it. Every time I felt Clash of the Castle, when Drew was gonna, I thought he would do it, didn't do it. When it was Cody last year, I thought Cody would do it, he didn't do it. Come on, it's like you said, it's end game. That's where we're I did Avengers earlier. It's end game now. So let's finish the story.
100%, man. Steve, it's been great speaking predictions with you. Where do you find more of yourself and your content? Let the people know.
You can find me on YouTube, SCW The Wrestling Channel. There's lots of content over there. There will be predictions for WrestleMania on my channel. There will be NXT Stand and Deliver. I've got a watch-along series, The 40 Years of WrestleMania, as well as every WrestleMania ranked. Of course, can do a tier listing as well. So plenty of content between now and WrestleMania, so get involved on there. You can follow me on social media as well, on Instagram, just SCW The Wrestling Channel. Also, you can find me that with X, Twitter, whichever you prefer as well, on the handle at @SCW_StephenMix. I always enjoy these collaborations with you. One of my favorite content creators, and I'm not just saying that as well. It's always a pleasure to collaborate with you, and I very much look forward to the next time.
Thank you one more time to Steve joining me with the predictions today. Looking forward to this WrestleMania, man. Every time you kind of sit down and talk about it, more and more the excitement builds. Looking forward to an absolute blockbuster, two nights of sensational wrestling, a spectacular show. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this very, very much. But ladies and gentlemen, let's put a bow in it. I think that is all for today, and it's been an incredible lead up to this WrestleMania. This probably is the last time you hear from me before WrestleMania. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff I'm gonna have to leave behind because I'm getting on a plane to Philly. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in. All the video content can be found on WrestleManiac UK and on the Instagram WrestleManiac.uk. Come and talk with me over on X WrestleManiac UK as well.
And the podcast next week following WrestleMania will probably be a bit later in the week, again, just because I'm not back from Philly yet. So please bear with me. In the meantime, please subscribe to Gorilla Position and Rest Things on YouTube, on your podcast platform of choice, because those are the two places you can find me for sure during WrestleMania week and post-WrestleMania. Gorilla Position and Rest Things. I'll be back on my own platform sometime in the middle of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy WrestleMania. Let me know your thoughts, like I said, on the X Machine, WrestleManiac UK. And I'll see you in the next one. WrestleManiac UK signing out. And I'll see you soon.